open your Bibles, open your minds, and join the conversation with your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good evening. Welcome to another edition of Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis, and I'll be with you until midnight tonight. I hope you'll be able to stick with us and even join in the conversation here this evening. And if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call tonight. Our toll-free number is 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673, and we'll get you on the radio here tonight with your question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. And let's go ahead and open our program here this evening with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just want to thank you again for the opportunity to be on the air tonight. Pray that you would bless the program and use it for your glory. Help us to point people that are searching to Christ, and help us to be able to encourage Christians in their walk with you, and to just bless the program tonight. Use it for your glory, and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, it's good to be with you tonight. I'm Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, and I certainly invite you to visit us. We'll have more information at half past the hour on the church there. We have a little break there and some information about our church, but you can find out more information about us online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And you can go there. And also, in addition, you can follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/livewithpastoral. That's facebook.com/livewithpastoral. And you can follow us there. And when the computer comes in sync and all of the things come together and YouTube aligns with Facebook and all that sort of stuff, you can find us, our program, live on there as well. And unfortunately, I think Thanksgiving coming up and the end of the month drawing near, my computer decided tonight's the night to be slow. And everybody that has a computer knows that sometimes when you need them the most is when they go the slowest. And so I've been trying, I think, for the past 10 minutes to get my computer to boot up and run the program. But I think we're finally on YouTube right now, and we'll be sharing that over to our Facebook page as well here momentarily. But I do want to encourage you to check out our webpage at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can listen to past programs there. We have them available at the webpage. And so we invite you to check us out there. And let's see. I'm trying to get my computer to cooperate here so that I can share stuff over to the web. It's just one of those nights. I don't know what it is. Holidays are coming up, I guess, and it's deciding it doesn't want to, just doesn't want to do all this stuff that it's supposed to do. But we will get some of these things running here eventually. Let me take a moment to wish you a happy Thanksgiving. I hope you have a great week this week, and Thanksgiving this year is a little late. It's the 28th of November. It's the latest that it can be, because Thanksgiving is always on the fourth Thursday of the month here in the United States. And since November this year began on a Friday, that made Thanksgiving this year come out the latest that it can be, which of course is Thursday this month. And I still have a little problem with my computer here, and it just tantalizing. It's like almost within reach as to how to be able to get the thing online. But I'll keep working on it while I'm talking here. But I do want to invite you to visit us there on our page at livewithpastoral.com. Check out some of our past programs, and plus there's some different things that are on there as well that you might find interesting, and links to some other materials. But in the meanwhile, give us a call tonight. We're live. Our toll-free number, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And we'll get you on the air tonight with your question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. And we have It looks like Nancy was the first to call in here this evening. So, Nancy, welcome to the program tonight.
Oh, thank you, Pastor Al. Looking forward to speaking with you. You know, one thing that's always been sort of perplexing to me is I'm sort of the belief, and it seems to me it's scriptural, that the only way God talks to you is through the Bible. But I keep hearing these various ministers, people that are, you know, really saved, you know, walking with the Lord, and they say, well, the Lord led me here. The Lord led me to do that. Well, to me, it's in your mind. It's what you decide, as long as what you're deciding is scriptural. So I can't see, it's hard for me to comprehend the Lord literally leading you to do something, like, say, a missionary saying, the Lord led me to be a missionary to France. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Absolutely. And
thank you.
You know, when we think about that statement that you made there, there's a couple things going on there. And, you know, the Bible does indicate that God talks to us in His Word, of course. In fact, at our church, the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, we've been going through Proverbs on Sunday night, and you bring this up just tonight. I was in Proverbs chapter 6, and I'm looking for the verse here in Proverbs chapter 6. He says this, and let me read this, and you'll see how the Bible talks to us, how God talks to us partway. He says, in starting in verse 20, "My son, keep thy father's commandment, and forsake not the law of thy mother. Bind them continually upon thine heart, and tie them about thy neck." And he's talking about the commandments of God, you know, the law of God that came from your parents, that was communicated to you. And part of that is because, you know, the parents are supposed to be the first and primary teachers, spiritual leaders of children. And so as he's saying this here, he's saying to pay attention to that. Remember how Paul commended Timothy and his grandmother and his mother, Lois and Eunice, who had taught him the scriptures and trained him? And then he says this in verse 22, "When thou goest, it shall lead thee. When thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. And when thou awakest, it shall talk with thee." Now, how does the Bible talk with you when you're awake? I don't open my Bible. I'm sorry, I missed what you said.
I'm sorry, by reading it.
Right. But here's something that happens. You know, sometimes when we're doing something or struggling with something, we open up a scripture, and as we're reading, it's like it leaps off the page at you, and you just see it, and you might not have seen it before. When I was in the Samoan Islands as a missionary, my wife and I, while we were there, we had some people there that were giving us a difficult time, is putting it mildly. They were engaged in all kinds of things, character assassination, false accusations, all kinds of stuff, and really making life miserable for us. And as I was dealing with a particular difficult time with these people, I'm reading in the Psalms, and a verse leapt off the page, and I'm not going to say it on the air, but it had the exact name of these people. It had their last name. It was right there.
Really?
And identified them as my enemies. Now, some people might be able to figure it out if you know your scripture, if you have a good concordance, but I'm not going to say it on the air right at the moment for fear that somebody listening might know who I'm talking about, even though this was half a world away and probably 25 years ago. But nevertheless, it said my enemies, and it gave the last name of these people.
Wow.
But what it then said, it went on to speak reassurance that although they're strong, God knows what's going on and He's taking care of you. And I read that. My wife was in the kitchen. I was sitting I had a setup with a desk and everything in our living room at the time in the house that we were in Samoa, American Samoa. And I read that, and I hollered out to my wife. I said, "Come here, look at this. Let me read this to you." And I read it to her, and she reacted to it as well, because How often do you see the name of the people who are giving you a hard time in the Bible?
That is absolutely amazing.
You know, I didn't plan to read that and see that at that particular time, but it leapt off the page at me, and it told me, the Bible talked to me in that instance and said, God knows what you're going through. He's not forgotten you. He's not to drop the ball here. He knows exactly what is going on, and they might be strong, but it was a reminder that God's greater, God's stronger, just like the passage that says,
greater is he than is in you
exactly.
than in the world.
And I don't know how many times that one's come to mind when I've been dealing with things. And so the Bible talks to us in that fashion. God talks to us through his word in that fashion. But here's another way that God talks to us. Sometimes when you're in church, and I know, Nancy, you go out there to Bible Baptist Temple in Euclid with Pastor Andy Rusnacko, and he's on the radio as well. In fact, he has a program that follows us on Friday afternoons at 2 o'clock right here on AM 1220 The Word. I'm on at 1:30 until 2 o'clock, and he comes on at 2 o'clock. In fact, there's three of us in a row. Pastor John Lutz of the North Coast Baptist Church in Lakewood, he's on from 1 until 1:30. I come on at 1:30 until 2, and then Pastor Rusnacko comes on at 2 o'clock, and he's on for half an hour. And when Pastor Rusnacko preaches, he's one of these guys that that likes lists. You know how when he preaches, he'll say, he'll always say something like, I want to give you 12 things the Bible says about this.
Always. Yeah.
And he'll go through those 12 things, and you learn something, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I know when you're in Bible school, when you're in Bible school, they say three points in a poem, you know, but you always learn something from him. And maybe it's nine things that the Lord said about, and he'll go through these things, and you learn something, and sometimes you'll be listening to that, and there'll be something that you're going through, something you're trying to figure out, and in his list, he'll have one of those lists that he gives, and it'll have something that you're dealing with, and there it is. And God speaks to you through his servants.
Yes, I've experienced that myself. I listen to a lot of sermons on the radio on 1220, and some things that I've been going through, I'll put on a particular, you know, listen to a particular sermon. I said, it's exactly what I need, exactly what I needed to hear. So I know exactly like that. But I was just talking about when somebody says, well, the Lord needs me to go to a certain, I think it's your own choice. I think it's your mind making it up.
Well, yeah, and that's what I was coming up to.
Yeah,
that's what I was coming up to, because, you know, God speaks to us, you know, through his word directly and through other, you know, Christians, especially through maybe your pastor, Sunday school teacher, or other believers, things like that, somebody in the radio. And there's ways that God speaks to us, but I found over time, sometimes when somebody, I knew somebody who used to always say, well, I was doing something and God told me to do this, or I was praying about something and God said, do this. And you know, what it was basically is they were praying about something and the Lord led them in a certain direction. And that's just the way they phrased it. I don't know if it was because of the churches that they were associated with, their background that they had, but instead of just saying like I would, you know, I was led to do something. I was led to start this radio program. I felt God leading me to become the pastor of the church. I felt God lead me to the Samoan Islands. You know, I believe God led me here. It just seemed like God was pointing me in this direction. But when I say that, I'm talking about having seen, you know, things that I read, things that I heard, praying about things, and God basically giving you the encouragement or the confidence or the assurance that what you're doing is what he wants you to do. And some people will call that, well, God told me. They're not really saying that God spoke in an audible voice. You know, when
thank you for explaining that.
You know, when I went to the Samoan Islands, it wasn't like I heard a voice, you know, that said, this is God. I want you to go to the South Pacific, to the island of Tutuila in American Samoa. Huh? Huh? No, that's not what happened. It's that actually I had done all my deputation as a missionary to go to New Zealand, and I got closed out, and they said it would be 5 years before I could reapply to get in. I'm not getting into all the story there, but because of something that had happened with some American missionaries in New Zealand at the time. And I said, Lord, what should I do? I'm ready to go. I've got tickets taking me to New Zealand. And what should I do? Well, because of the visa situation, I knew that I might initially at least have to leave the country for perhaps 6 months every so often. And I had looked around and I thought, well, rather than come all the way back to Ohio from New Zealand, is there someplace closer? Well, I knew Hawaii was closer, but I thought, where could I go? Maybe a U.S. territory or something that I could get into that might be closer. And that's where I became familiar with the Samoan Islands. And so when I was closed out of New Zealand, I prayed and my wife prayed, and with 3 weeks to go, we changed and we were able to redo our tickets. We lost hardly any money at all. The only money we lost was from an internal flight in New Zealand from the North Island to the South Island. But all the money that we had, we kept our itinerary to Hawaii, didn't change that at all. And we took our itinerary that took us from Hawaii to New Zealand and changed that from Hawaii to American Samoa. And when we saw that and we prayed about that, God gave us perfect peace about that. So God led us there. And when we got there, we found out that in order to be successful down there and plant a church, which is still there today, it was best that we didn't know we were going there.
Fascinating.
The real reason we were successful, not because we were better than any other missionaries that were there, it was because we got there by accident, humanly speaking, but it was God's plan. Because there was some internal situations in American Samoa that had we initially planned to go there, we would have been put in touch with some people who would have crippled us and kept us from being successful.
Wow.
But by going there in somewhat of a stealthy fashion, and God confirmed it in various ways. You know, there was the assurance that my wife and I had that led us to believe we were making the right decision. We had every one of our supporting churches at the time was in agreement with what we did, at least the ones we heard of.
Good.
And we lost no support. We, in fact, gained support. And, you know, our church, our pastor was all 100% behind us. Our mission board was behind us. And through those things, God led us in the direction he wanted us to go. And so as a Christian, you see what God is doing. And but too many people are sitting somewhere waiting for God to say, attention, listen to me. I have a special. No, open your Bible and read it. Get into church like they were in Acts chapter 13, where Paul and Barnabas and others were in the church ministering to the Lord. And as they ministered to the Lord, God singled out Paul and Barnabas and said, listen, I got a special job for them. And that's what God does. A lot of people hear more about the Lord and what he wants them to do if they get busy doing something in the first place instead of sitting around waiting for a voice.
Well, thank you. You phrased it perfectly. So I guess it's a matter of semantics. When somebody said, when a pastor says, the Lord led me, it's not like God, you know, talked to them audibly, but it's just a series of events. As long as you're in God's will, then it just seems to flow very free. Mm-hmm. It seems to make a lot of sense what you're doing. So I think it's more, you know, the way people phrase it, you think that maybe God's talking to the audibly, but for the way you explain it, it's really just a series of events that, you know, make it pretty obvious that this is the course that you're supposed to take. Well, thank you. You explained that very well.
Well, I appreciate that. Thank you for the call, Nancy. I appreciate that.
Okay.
And happy Thanksgiving to you.
Well, thank you. The same to you.
Okay. Thank you.
Well, God bless.
All right, God bless.
I'm waiting to hear Terry.
Well, we got Terry, but we also got somebody who got bumped last week, so I think I'm going to jump to him first. And so I appreciate that. But thanks for calling. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al.
God bless.
And God bless. Our toll-free number is 888-677-7963, and we've got Terry and Tom, but Tom got bumped last week. He wasn't able to get on because we ran out of time, so we're going to jump to Tom real quick here. Tom, welcome to the program tonight.
Oh, hello, Pastor. Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving to you, too.
I got a real quick thing for you.
Yes, sir.
You know, I know what I believe, but I want to see what you're going to say here. I've been hearing, and I've heard it now twice, and I'm not going to say who because it's not the point, but I've heard a couple of radio pastors recently. It seems to be, there seems to be a lot of false theology coming out lately. And what I'm hearing is this guy was talking about the rapture, and he believes in the pre-trib rapture. However, he says that he has proof that in Revelation there, that some people are, he said, only the very people that are walking the closest with the Lord are going to be taken out in the rapture. Other Christians are going to be left behind.
Well, yeah, I've heard that too, where they try to come up with something that says that you're not going to be caught up in the rapture unless you are doing the right things as a Christian. Just being saved isn't enough. And my problem with that is, there's several locations for it. Let me go over to 1 Thessalonians,
well,
I believe,
my
first.
My problem is, at what point, so what is the bar that God set?
Exactly. I mean, how do we know that we're doing enough or walking closely enough with the Lord? And as I'm turning over here to 1 Thessalonians, I just want to make a mention here for those who are trying to watch us on Facebook or YouTube. We were having no sound, and we had one of our wires come loose, and I plugged it in. Hopefully it's in the right spot, so hopefully they're hearing sound now on the broadcast there.
Yeah, I don't remember the scripture verse he was saying, but he was quoting something out of Revelation that was supporting his viewpoint.
Yeah. Let me go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, okay? These people here were worried that they had missed the rapture.
Oh,
the catching away of the believers in Revelation. I'm sorry, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 is where I want to be. And he says this, I would not, in verse 13, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, but ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. So he's telling that their soul and spirit are with the Lord in heaven, which we understand that's the case. Body is in the grave, but the soul and spirit are in heaven with the Lord. So when he comes from heaven, he brings them with him. And then he says in verse 15, for this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. Meaning we won't prevent them from being raised first. We won't go before them. And what he's talking about here is in verse 16, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. That's the dead bodies. The soul and spirit come with the Lord from heaven. The body is raised from the earth. And then we which are and reunited together, body, soul, and spirit, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. There's nothing there that says or even implies that you had to match some bar other than being a Christian.
Absolutely. And that's not the second coming, because if it were the second coming, Jesus' feet would touch the earth.
We were exactly
caught up in the air to meet him in the air.
Not, and that's what it says, to be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. When the Lord returns at the second coming, he comes to the Mount of Olives. The Bible tells us in Zechariah chapter 14, I believe it is, that the mountain splits in two right where there's a fault line right now.
Well, I suspect it's that old human nature in people that wants to contribute their works.
Yes,
you know, to as part of it, and then we get away from grace. And I think the Bible is clear all throughout the Bible that we're only saved not by good works. We can only do good works after we're saved that are going to count anyway.
Yeah, and none of us ever do everything that's necessary. It's
no,
just like,
I mean, yeah, some people, but the Bible says the Lord knows his own.
He doesn't let
his sheep wander too far. If we get away from the Lord, he's going to chastise us, Pastor.
Oh, absolutely. Right? If we don't have chastening, we don't belong to him.
And if we're not really his sheep, then, yeah, we may wander. We may even deny the Lord. But, you know, true Christians, God isn't going to let us. He's only going to let you go so far. And he's going to get your attention one way or another.
Oh, absolutely. And the Bible talks in Hebrews about
that. But it's just amazing. I just wanted to bring that up, and I'm going to get off. But it's just amazing that, you know, the different kind of theology that's out there today.
Oh, yeah. And you know, he says, comfort one another. And then in chapter 5, he says, we're not appointed under wrath. And then in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2.
Well, here's another thing, too. Didn't Paul talk that when we are born again and we're saved, I really believe that we have the Holy Spirit at that very moment.
Oh, absolutely. In fact, he said if we don't have him, we don't belong.
Paul emphasizes that we are sealed unto the day of redemption with the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
We're sealed. We're marked.
Well, absolutely.
We belong to the Lord.
Yeah, and I know our break's coming up here, but I was just going to say one thing.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving to you too, Tom. I appreciate that. And just going to mention, too, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 tells them, you know, about not being deceived and because the Antichrist will come, but we're going to be gone before then. Hey, stay tuned. We got our half hour to go. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. I want to invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, located midway between Akron and Cleveland at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield, where the Ohio Turnpike, Interstate 80, and Interstate 77 cross. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Sunday morning for Bible study at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church also meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Friday night at 7 p.m. for an informal Bible study where you get to bring the questions, just like on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Even if we don't see you at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, we want to see you in heaven. Jesus says in the Bible, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Why? Well, because the Bible says, "There is none righteous, no, not one." We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible also says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. And so the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I like that. Whosoever, that means you. If this show's been a blessing to you, why not let us know? You can contact us by writing Pastor Al Davis, Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Our email address is pastoral@maplenoll.us. You can also visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. Or you can call us at 330-659-6561. We'd love to hear from you, but now let's get back to our program. Well, welcome back. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al, and you can give us a call tonight if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. You can call us toll-free, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And we had a little kerfluffle with our YouTube with not having sound in the beginning. We had a wire that came loose, and unfortunately I have two spots that I can plug the wire into on the same thing, and there's nothing to indicate which one that it was. And I thought I had it in the right one. Apparently, we looked at it and realized it wasn't in the right one. Got it turned back around, and then people started picking up the sound again. So apologize for that, and unfortunately missed most of Nancy's question. You know, I'd like to be able to say, wow, it's probably the greatest moment in radio history. Yeah, but no, I'm not going to say that. It was, but she did have a good question, talking about being led of the Lord and how God speaks to us through His Word. But I do believe we got it back on during Tom's question, talking in the last half hour about who's caught up in the rapture. The Bible indicates that every believer, and Tom brought out a great point, the Bible says that we as believers are sealed with the Holy Spirit until the day of redemption, and we were running out of time, and I was pointing out in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, talking about the Antichrist coming on the scene. He cannot come on the scene until, according to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, until the Holy Spirit is gone. He's preventing him, but he's preventing the Antichrist from being revealed by working through God's children. That's us, the believers. And so if he's removed, he said he'd never leave us nor forsake us. We're sealed with him. He's the earnest of our salvation, so therefore, hey, if he goes, we go. And we're in a particular dispensation where the Holy Spirit comes on the believer at the moment of salvation. Paul said that if you have not, do not have the Spirit of Christ, you don't belong to him. And so you receive the Holy Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ, that's what he is, the Holy Ghost, at the moment of salvation. And so you have him sealing you, and then one day God will catch us up to be with him in heaven. And there's no bar for you got to be a good enough Christian to merit the trip or not. If you are sealed with the earnest of the Holy Spirit of God, you are going. When that trumpet sounds and the voice of the archangel, the Lord will call us to be up with him, and we will meet him in the air. And that's why Paul was able to tell the Thessalonians, wherefore comfort one another with these words. Not very comforting if it said, well, you know, maybe you will, maybe you won't. You don't really know until it happens. How do you know it didn't happen already? And no comfort there. But knowing that we will be caught up, because we are not appointed under wrath. The tribulation is a period of God's wrath on the world that has rejected him, and a period of judgment on the Jewish people to bring them to the acknowledgement of Jesus Christ as their Messiah. Romans chapter 11 says that there's coming a day when the nation of Israel, the Jewish people, will embrace him. Zechariah talks about the return of Christ, the battle of Armageddon, and talks about the Jewish people seeing and welcoming him as he comes to defend Jerusalem, and saying they look upon him whom they had pierced. And that's, they realize, of course, that he is the Messiah, and they embrace him as such. Well, we spend more time on that perhaps at another time. We've got callers patiently waiting, and we're going to get to them in just a moment. Just a reminder, of course, that you can find us online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And also on Facebook at facebook.com/livewithpastoral. That's facebook.com/livewithpastoral. And then, of course, you can watch on YouTube. We've got that going if you're on YouTube. I wore my Thanksgiving tie that I had at church today. It's got the pilgrims and the Indians sitting down with their turkey dinner right there in the midst. And so I got it last year in time for Thanksgiving last year. So this is, I think, the second time I've worn it. So I was glad to be able to wear it today. So I thought I'd get my use out of it today and wear it even in the studio tonight. But anyway, we're going to jump over to Terry here this evening. Terry, thank you for your patience. Welcome to the program tonight.
Good evening.
Hi, good evening. Yeah, I bumped you this time because Tom tried to get in last couple times, I think, and we ran out of time. So I got him ahead of you, and I appreciate you holding there for us.
Yeah, that's good. As you know, I sometimes try to pray before I call in.
And tonight
I forgot to pray, and as you were talking to Nancy, I started praying. I said, "Lord, your will be done."
Amen.
And in this conversation, and what you talked about in Thessalonians, chapter 4 and 5 is exactly what I was going to ask you about.
Wow, you know, you look at that. You know, Tom called up with that, and the Lord's working all things together for His glory, isn't He?
Yeah, like, you know, we ask not because we receive not because we ask not. Or we ask
have not because we ask not. Yeah.
Yeah, we should ask everything, like everything we should ask the Lord for, and He'll direct the paths. Like, for instance, I quit my roofing business, and I needed a cheaper vehicle. I was driving a Ford Expedition.
Oh, yeah.
It was sucking up the gas like water, and I needed a smaller vehicle. I ended up getting a Standard. It wasn't nothing special, but I prayed about it. I said, "Lord, lead me to a place where I can get a vehicle." And I ended up getting this really small car, and it's perfect.
Mm-hmm.
What I want, just what I needed. The Lord knows exactly what we need.
Oh yeah.
And it's really cheap on gas. I can drive all day with it, and I don't have to worry about, you know, spending tons and tons of money on gas.
Yeah,
That's only because I asked the Lord.
Yeah.
And I asked the Lord.
Yeah, when you got one of those vehicles, especially with high gas prices, you know, and you measure the gas usage and how many gas stations per mile you visit, you know, you got a problem. So, yeah.
So I had to get rid of that vehicle because I didn't need it anymore.
Yeah, I had a friend of mine just recently did a similar thing. He had a large truck, and it was just guzzling the gas, and he was able to get another vehicle and much better mileage. And, you know, obviously sometimes you need that vehicle, and you need that, and so the expense is worth it. But a lot of times it's more than what we need, and when we cut back like that, I was talking to somebody. Our church meets in a hotel, and I was talking to somebody this morning, and we were talking about when we met in a building, and we had to pay the utility bills. You know, in the wintertime, we could hardly afford to heat the place. In the summertime, we could hardly afford to keep it cool, and then we had to try and come up with money to pay somebody to plow the parking lots and all that. Now we meet in a hotel. We pay one certain amount of money each week, and that's it. All year round, it's so much easier by being a small church and cutting back and meeting in a hotel. It was, you know, if you want to look at it from a financial standpoint, for our church, one of the best things we ever did. So,
yeah.
And sometimes cutting back like that really is an advantage, because what it does is it gives us more resources to do the Lord's work with, doesn't it?
That's right.
And
if we need a vehicle like that, the Lord will provide the gas.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, so Lord provides, and we just have to trust Him. We need to, you know, keep in prayer and put our needs before the Lord, and he will answer those prayers.
He'll supply all our needs according to His riches and glory.
Exactly. Exactly. And
happy Thanksgiving, by the way.
Yeah. Now, Thanksgiving in Canada is a different day, though, isn't it?
It's in October.
It's in October, so you've already had it. Now, how do they do it in Canada? Is it on a certain day, like the 28th or something, or is it on a certain day of the week, or how do they do it in Canada?
I think it's the first week or around that area. I think next year it's going to be on the 12th. I was just looking it up on the internet.
Okay, yeah, because see, in the United States, it's always the 4th Thursday of November.
Yeah.
So that's where it jumps around a little bit that way.
So yours is on the 28th.
Yeah, so it'll be the 28th this year, which is the latest in the year that it can be. And, of course, it's driving the retailers crazy because, you know, they look at it as the start of the Christmas shopping season traditionally, that Friday. And by being
Black
so,
Friday.
Yeah, Black Friday, because that's what gets their books in the black, out of the red and in the black. And unfortunately, by being so late, they figure they've lost about a week's worth of shopping. So they've been running Black Friday sales all this past week, it seems like.
I think they copycat us. I think we started it.
The Black Friday?
I think the Americans had to step in. I think the Americans started, and then Canada stepped in.
Oh, one of my sister-in-laws, she's a born shopper. She loved to get out on Black Friday, and she loved the crowds. I was out. My wife and I went out one time on a Black Friday because our daughter wanted something, and it was on sale. It was one of those doorbuster things. It was the only way that we could get it and afford it, and we wanted to surprise her with it. And we made the effort, and I think never again. On Black Friday, here's what I want to do. I want to sleep off my turkey-induced coma and wake up whenever I wake up, wander into the kitchen, open the refrigerator, pull out the turkey, pull out the stuffing, pull out the cranberry sauce, and sit down at the table and maybe get me a piece of bread and put some mayonnaise or Miracle Whip on it, and then start putting some turkey on there and some stuffing on there and some gravy on there and some cranberry sauce on the side, and just sit there and eat, no pun intended, eat cold turkey. But that's what I want to do on Black Friday. If I'm going to get up early, you know, early in the afternoon maybe, but no, and I don't sleep that late on the Friday after Thanksgiving, but you know, I just
people
would
line up, people line up at the stores. They line
oh,
up.
Oh yeah,
all the way down the street waiting to get a certain item, eh? Like TVs.
Yeah. No, I gotta.
Not for me.
I like cooking a turkey. My wife and I both like to cook, and so we've got a turkey. In fact, I forgot I was going to take it out of the freezer tonight and stick it in the refrigerator so it can start thawing. And we use those freezer bags that they have. I don't know if you've seen them. It's like a plastic bag, and you put chicken in it or a turkey in it or whatever. They have other ones as well for other things. And you poke a couple holes in it, and you put it in a roasting pan, and it holds all the moisture, all the juices in, and it makes a nice moist turkey. And while we're giving out turkey cooking advice here, I throw some sage and some garlic and some paprika and maybe some seasoning salt inside the bag and shake it around with the turkey before I poke the holes in it and sit it in the pan. And when you cook that, you'll have all those juices. And if you cut the bag on the corner, it's a two-person operation, and then I'll catch all that juice in another pan, it makes the best gravy in the world. So I'm making myself hungry just talking about it.
I was thinking about the same thing.
But, you know, we need to give thanks when we think about these things, because when we think of all that God has done for us. I had in our church bulletin today, Psalm 118, verse 29, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever." And God is good. We experience more goodness from God than we deserve, don't we?
We should be thanking him every day.
Yeah, every day in his mercy. You know, it's by God's mercy that you and I aren't struck dead because of our sin.
That's right.
And yet he provided a way of salvation. And so, you know, thanksgiving of all days, we ought to count our blessings. We ought to sit there and when we look at that food and you know, most people that are fortunate enough to live where they have access to the food and everything are probably going to eat more food on Thanksgiving than a lot of people in a lot of parts of the world will eat all month.
That's right.
And, you know,
we become gluttons on
yeah. But, you know, we look at that and the amount of food that gets thrown away, leftovers and stuff, that it would have fed families around the world. And so when we look at that, we ought to be thankful. The mercy of God, the goodness of God, that we're able to live where we are. And I'm not saying go out and eat a skimpy meal because there's people starving in other parts of the world, but when you eat that meal, we need to recognize it's in a sense, it's metaphorical. You remember Amos said that there was a famine a famine, not of food, but not of bread, but of the Word of God. And you and I can enjoy a conversation about God here on the radio. We can go to church and not worry that the secret police are going to kick the doors in and drag off the pastor and beat us for being there. You know, we have the opportunity. You know, I think on Thanksgiving, talking about, you know, we all eat more than we should or more than we need, and we enjoy the abundance of what God has provided. But think about it. We were in church today. And how many people around the world would have loved to have had a chance to have just a little bit of what we were able to enjoy today, because they can't. They can't. There's a, they can be thrown in jail. They can be beaten. They can lose their lives. And we sit in our churches. I'm thinking, I think it was either First or Second Kings, I believe it was. There was a case where the city of Samaria, I believe it was laid siege, and the people were starving, and they were even dividing up and selling dove's dung for food. Can you imagine? And these three or four lepers, I forget how many it was, were at the gate of the city because they were starving inside. The Assyrians were outside, and they said, you know what? We stay here, and I know I'm paraphrasing greatly here. They said, basically, we're sitting here. You know, if we go in the city, nobody wants us there, and we'll starve. We'll die. Nobody's going to give us anything. They don't have anything to give us. Why don't we go down to the Assyrian camp? The worst they can do is kill us. We're going to die anyways. Maybe they'll let us go, and we can go find some food. Well, unbeknownst to them, God had chased the entire Syrian army away. And they came into the camp, and they found so much food, they're just stuffing themselves. And then they said something along the lines of, we do not well, because they realized the city was starving, and they're out there enjoying all of this. And, you know, and that's metaphorical when you think about it, about us as Christians in America, in Canada, where we're feasting on the Word of God, and there's people out there starving spiritually. And we do not well because we're enjoying this and we're not sharing it with them.
And we have free access too. To, like, speaking of spiritual food, to go out there and tell people.
Exactly.
And safely walk down the street and talk to people.
Yeah.
And people don't.
Yeah. And we need to have Paul's attitude there in Romans chapter 1, where he said, "I am a debtor to the I think the Greek and the barbarian or something." He said.
Yeah.
Let me turn over there and see how he said that. But yeah, he recognized that he had something of tremendous value, and he owed it to others. And of course, it was the gospel. And we have that, and we owe it to others as well, because yeah, we're debtors. Yeah, Romans 1:14, I am a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. And then he says this in verse 15, so as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. And he recognized he owed them the gospel. And, you know, we feast on the Word of God in our churches. And, you know, at least in the United States, we spend, I've seen the statistic in the past, and I don't think it's changed much. We spend more on pet food than we do on spiritual food to the world.
Oh, that's the same with here. Same
yeah, thing. I'm sure. I'm sure it's very similar.
You know, we shouldn't be ashamed of the gospel of God.
No, exactly. And that's what he said in verse 16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation.
Yeah, I didn't even, the scripture just came to me. I didn't even
yeah.
see it there.
Yeah, the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. And right there it is. That's what we need as an attitude, isn't it?
That's right. Like, you treat everybody the same, no matter who they are.
Exactly, and that's what he's saying there.
In God's eyes.
Yeah, the Greek, the barbarian, the wise, the unwise, the Jew, whoever it is, he owed it to them. And
one time I actually memorized this whole chapter at one time before.
Yeah, it's a good chapter. There's a lot in it, and especially here in this part here in the middle, where he's talking about the necessity of proclaiming the gospel, because, you know, it this phrase here, for it is the power of God unto salvation. And when we think about that, the miracle, people don't, you know, people want to see miracles. They don't stop to consider the miracle that salvation is. You know, we are lost. We're in our sin. You know, how can God even look at us? He abhors everything that we are, and yet he loves us.
What he said to the woman at the well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, I have food that, or he said to the disciples, I have food that you.
Exactly.
That, yeah.
Because they were physically hungry, yeah.
Yeah.
And
sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, and then the miracle that God can move on the heart of an unsaved person. You ever think about this? The Bible says over in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, I think it is, where it says, the natural man receiveth not the things of God. It says that they're foolishness to him because they're spiritually discerned. I'm just flipping over there trying to see this right here where he says, here in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. You ever think about this? How can an unsaved person get saved? Because they don't understand the Scriptures, do they?
No, they don't.
But,
How do they know unless somebody tells them?
Exactly. But see, here's the key, the interesting thing. This is part of the miracle of salvation, because we're spiritually dead without Christ. And so our Calvinist friends, because Calvin, as a young Roman Catholic trained lawyer, when he was trying to come up with his theological system, he didn't understand this. And so he figured, he came up with an interesting, unique solution. It's not a biblical solution, but a lot of people follow this. He basically said that because the natural man doesn't receive the things of God, because they're spiritually discerned, that if you're spiritually dead, you can't understand the spiritual truths of the gospel. And so you actually have to be saved. The Spirit of God saves you. Then you can understand the gospel and ask Christ to be your Savior. Little convoluted, the cart before the horse.
Yeah,
but that's not what it's saying, or what the Bible teaches. You know, what happens is the miracle of salvation. You can see this in I believe it's Hebrews chapter 6. What happens is the Spirit of God enlightens the unsaved person. It's like animating the spiritually dead. And then they become enlightened. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 4, for it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted of the good word of God and the powers of the world to come. So the Holy Spirit opens their understanding, and we pray for people that God would move on their heart and they would be given understanding. And now, this is where they come in, and this is where the Calvinists don't understand. And, of course, on the other flip side, the Arminians, who believe you can lose your salvation, they believe that because we choose to be saved, we can choose to not be saved. And so as a consequence, what happens, though, is God opens our eyes. We understand the gospel. I know we got about a minute left in the program, but we understand the gospel. We're enlightened. We're tasting of it. And then we make the choice. Will I trust Christ as my Savior or not? Not like the Calvinist that says some people are created to be born again and some people are created to populate heaven, some people are created to populate hell. The Bible says we make the choice, don't we?
Yeah.
But he has to enlighten us so that we can make that choice. And when we choose to trust Christ as our Savior, then he says, I give them eternal life. And they shall never perish. And that, of course, is where the Arminians get it wrong, because they think eternal life wasn't eternal, and they think when he said you never perish, that was conditional, and it wasn't. Hey, we're out of time. Thanks for listening, and happy Thanksgiving to everybody. God bless.
You've just listened to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Late Night Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also like us on Facebook or listen to past programs at livewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis is the pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express at 5171 Rexville Road in Richfield every Sunday at 11 a.m. and 6 p.m. and every Friday night at 7. You can contact Pastor Al by writing to Pastor Al Davis at P.O. Box 452 Richfield, Ohio 44286. Or you can email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. Tune in every week for Late Night Live with Pastor Al, Sunday nights at 11 o'clock on this station.